Hey, everybody. Welcome to the CMPL podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my fellow librarians, Nicole and Megan.
Hello.
Hi.
I am part of the Michigan Notable Book Committee, so I'm really excited about our topic today, which is Michigan books. So that could be Michigan authors or books set in Michigan. Every year, the Library of Michigan sponsors the Michigan Notable Book List, and that's 20 books chosen by a committee of people from around the state that we recommend of all different genres, all different age groups. So it's a great place to start if you're looking for Michigan books. And this list comes out every year towards the end of the year. This year, it's going to be released in the Detroit Free Press the first Sunday after the new year. So I'm not talking about any books that I've read so far this year because I don't want spoilers, but we do have 15 of the 20 picked already.
Oh, man.
Kate, we wanted you here so we could get some spoilers.
I know.
We Nicole, don't put the podcast out until then.
Maybe Nicole, I'll drop some hint, but I won't outright say.
Okay, good. We want the inside scoop.
So when you guys want to start? Right.
Yeah, I will get started. So my first author is Josh Mailerman, and that's not a surprise to anyone who knows me because I'm always trying to push his books and always trying to make them hot reads. Unfortunately, we always miss it when he has a really good book out, and then when he has a book that people are like, meh, that's when I try to push for a hot read. So we never have had him yet. But he is the author of several fairly successful books. Bird Box and Mallory are probably the ones that most people know about because they were made into Netflix movies. I'm also a really big fan. You know what? They definitely had to because the new cover of the book has a blindfolded woman on top of it.
I'm so excited to hear that. I love the book.
Oh, yeah, you did?
Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
Yeah, I liked Bird Box is the only one that I read of his, but I liked it. It was less scary than I thought it would be, so that was good. Because I was afraid it was going to be too scary.
Well, I believe that one was a Michigan Notable book, but if what you liked about it is that it wasn't very scary, you are not going to like my favorite book by him, which is called Goblin. And it's one of those books that when I first read it, I was reading it and I was like, oh, okay, so this is like a real book. This is like, you know, when you read a book and you're like, this is plotted perfectly and everything matches up the way it's supposed to. And how did this happen after he just made a book about a pig that talks? I don't know. But this one, so good. It is a novella in six parts. It is a novel in six novellas, I guess. And it's all about a town called Goblin, which I believe it is set in Iowa or Idaho or something like that. But the cool thing about Josh Mailerman, who is from Michigan and currently lives in Michigan, all of his books have this sort of Midwest noir feeling, like that this could be set in any town in the Midwest. It happens to be set in this one, but it really could be the town you grew up in. And I love that. I love that when you read a Michigan author and it doesn't matter where they set it, it still feels like it's in Michigan.
Yeah.
It's all about it's all about this particular town, and it starts off where you don't really realize that anything is strange about the town itself. It focuses on individual characters in the town, and then the more you read, the more the town itself gets fleshed out, and the more you realize this town is kind of cursed. Mm-hmm. And you already know the ending from the very beginning, but you're just trying to figure out how they get there, and that is very interesting to me. So I am 100% always suggesting this book to everybody, and I'm suggesting it to you guys right now.
Well, I want to read it.
So. I don't know. It might be too scary.
It might be a little bit. I will say, Megan, there were like maybe one or two stories in there where I was like, I was not expecting the level of a little bit of goriness that there was. So it was a little bit like the first story after the prologue is about a guy who is trying to keep his girlfriend, and the way that he does it is very Van Gogh-y. And he doesn't stop at the ear. So yeah. I'm not sure that that's something you'd be interested in, but I loved it. There's my very favorite review I've read of this is a 3-star review on Amazon. And just ignoring the rest of the review, the title just says, "Fantasy mixed with horror, not a winning combination for me." Whereas for me, I'm like, that is the winning combination. What are you talking about? So it really does depend on what you like.
Yeah. Well, although like horror as a genre isn't my thing, my author that I always talk about when we talk about Michigan books is more like the horrors of real life. And that's Bonnie Jo Campbell. I love her. I love all her books. She doesn't have that many that we have. She wrote some earlier that were kind of like underground and are hard to get now, but we have 2 collections of short stories and 1 novel called Once Upon a River. The books of short stories are called American Salvage, which was nominated for the National Book Award, and then Mothers Tell Your Daughters. And I love them, but they are kind of sad. They're all about kind of people who are down on their luck or just haven't had easy lives. There's always kind of like one thing going wrong after another. But I love how real all of the characters feel. And I love how even when things are bad, people never like stop becoming real people. They never become like caricatures of themselves. She's from the Kalamazoo area and writes kind of about that southwest side of the state, kind of more rural, the rural part. She hasn't had a new book since 2015, so I'm very sad about that. She's been teaching, but I would like her to write more.
Hopefully she'll retire from teaching soon.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is there anything like you'd particularly recommend?
Yeah, if being sad isn't your thing, then definitely Mothers Tell Your Daughters, I think, is the more hopeful of the two, or just people have a little bit more agency. There's one story that I love about sort of a woman trying to get revenge on her husband, who was really awful to her for their whole marriage, but now he's got a terminal disease. This is not sounding happy at all.
You said this was going to be the happier one.
So I guess, and the thing with short stories is, you know, you can read 10 pages and decide this is for me or isn't it, and you still have a complete story under your belt.
True.
Good point.
Cool. I've got one. And this was Michigan Notable. I'm holding up the cover, but you guys can't see me, so. It's called The Dock Porter, a Mackinac Island novel by Dave McVeigh and Jim Bologna. It's a really fun book. I would recommend it. It's about what a dock porter is somebody who works on Mackinac Island, and they have a bike, and when the boats come with the tourists taking them from the mainland to Mackinac Island, these dock porters put all your luggage on their bike and then ride it to your hotel. They're like really talented in that they can pile tons and tons of luggage and still like ride around and be able to steer the bike and stuff. So this is a fictional story. It takes place in the late 70s among these dock porters. And it really reads like a 1980s Jim Hughes movie or something. Like there's the main character is like a, you know, scrappy young dock porter guy. And then he's trying to get the girl. And of course there's like the rich kid that doesn't have to work, that also wants the same girl, and like
we assume he's wearing a pink polo with a popped collar.
Exactly. Yes.
He probably doesn't work on a bicycle.
Right. Exactly.
That's my guess.
And then there's like the evil developers that want to like ruin Mackinac Island and turn it into something hokey. So it's just a really fun book. I'd recommend it to everybody. I hope they make it into a movie someday. It would be a really good throwback to like a 80s teen movie.
That sounds cute. And like, who in Michigan, well, I guess there are people who haven't been to Mackinac Island, but I feel like many people would have kind of a reference for the things that happen.
Yeah, definitely.
That's always fun.
Yeah, it's totally relatable. It's just what's really great about reading books that are set in Michigan, because you're like, oh, I know that place. I've seen that before.
Yeah, this is one that could only, the story could only ever take place on Mackinac Island, because I think that's the only place on Earth where there are dock borders.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have such a need for them here in Macomb Township, so.
Not so much.
No. So my next book, or my next author, is Megan Giddings, who is also from Michigan. She attended U of M, so she's a smarty. Currently works at the University of Minnesota, but that's still kind of Midwest, so I'm going to give her that one. It's okay. Maybe she'll come back someday. But her debut book was in 2020, and it was called Lakewood. And Lakewood was, I'm going to say, real confusing, but really, really enjoyable to read, and has turned up on all these, you know, best of lists. It was, again, it was a Michigan Notable Books book. It was a Michigan Notable book, if that's how we say it.
Yeah.
And it was set in Michigan, and it was about a the main character basically signed up to be a part of this experiment. But neither she nor any of the other people were told what the experiment was for, what would happen during the experiment. So it really had a lot of parallels to experiments that have been done on people, particularly people of color, in the past, in that even though these people have signed a contract and were aware that something was going to happen, still all feels a little bit involuntary and it's kind of scary for them. And I think that the confusing bit of the book was intentional. I think that the point was to make you feel the way that the characters feel, which is like, why are they doing this? What's going on? Mm-hmm. But it did, they all felt like very realistic people, just in a very strange, unrealistic situation. Like, for example, one of the experiments is they are all given a job in a call center type situation, but they don't actually work. They just have to be in that room pretending to work for like 8 hours every day. And things just change around them. Like, yeah. one day someone comes in, like the secretary comes in, and she just doesn't have teeth, and then she leaves. Like, just strange things happen, and you're like, what are they testing here? Is it their reaction? What's happening? But it's all very, very interesting to read about. And that makes me really excited for her new book that just came out, which is called The Woman Could Fly. I can't even remember if we made this a hot read. I hope we did.
It's on the table.
I knew it was on the list, but then I forget what actually makes it. But yeah, it's on our table at the main branch, the front hot reads table. And I am so excited to read it. It's not set in Michigan technically, because it's set in like a different world where magic exists, and
it's a super Michigan vibe though.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. That's what I hear. Oh, Kate, you've definitely already read it, haven't you?
I have read it, and I loved it. I actually liked it better than Lakewood.
Is exciting.
If you like witches.
Yeah. Did you even just ask? Yes, I do. I think I might actually be able to get Sarah to read this one too, because she loves witches.
Oh, nice.
Anytime we have anything about like witches, witch hunts, anything, she's on board.
Oh, so. She's going to like this one.
Hmm. So what's your next person, Megan?
Okay, my next person, also the book I'm going to talk about is Abbott, which is actually kind of a series. It also is a throwback to the 70s, but a very different vibe, it sounds like, from the Doc Porter. The author of Abbott is Saladin Ahmed. He is from Dearborn. He wrote, and he still lives there, I think. He wrote a fantasy novel called Throne of the Crescent Moon, which again is sort of set in like an alternate universe kind of a thing. But he writes a lot for Marvel. So he's gotten into writing comic books, graphic novels. So he writes for some like ongoing characters. I think Black Bolt is one of them. But then he has his own like original story that there are two like bound volumes of it out already. And the main character's name is Abbott, and she is a reporter in 1970s Detroit. And so she's, you know, investigating corruption, but then some of the stuff that is going on is actually supernatural. You know, 1970s Detroit is not an era that I know, but at least like you were saying, Nicole, like the places, the streets, the neighborhoods are places that I know. And what I do know of that time, it's just kind of fun to revisit it. Not just the, you know, this kind of kick butt character who is rooting out, you know, corruption in the town, but also all the outfits are also, and the cars are really fun to see. It's a graphic novel, so everything is visual. So that is something that I've read both volumes that are out and enjoyed.
Cool.
And that's in the adult section in our collection?
It is. And I think it's under Ahmed, not Abbott.
Okay.
And he's probably got a...
Because I'm going to check that out.
Does he do the illustrations and the writing?
Yeah, I don't think he does the illustrations. There's someone who draws it. I suppose I could look up who that is because I don't know. But... it's a fun story.
Yeah. I've got another fun story. It's called Set My Heart to Five by Simon Stevenson. And it takes place.
It was a hot read as well, but I didn't read it.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering why we had like a bunch of copies of it in the catalog. That would make sense. Yeah, I really loved it though. It's about a robot. And this robot, I can't remember if he is a dentist or he works for a dentist, but one day he's watching a movie and he feels a salty, wet substance on his eye. And it turns out he's crying. He's feeling emotion for the first time. And so then he starts watching all kinds of movies that his human friend recommends to him. And he feels all kinds of emotions. So he's beginning to realize that he is sentient and can feel and think. The problem with this is... the problem with this is the creators of the robots don't want their robots to be sentient, so they, once they find out that he can now feel and think, they want to destroy him, so he has to go on the run. So it actually turns into sort of like a road trip movie as he goes on the run, and as he sort of learns about being human and all like the strange things that humans do, strange ways that we think. So it just makes for a fun narrator to kind of take yourself outside of humanity as somebody who's just experiencing it for the first time as an adult. And it's really funny.
All right.
Okay. You know what? This is reminding me so much of what's that kids movie from the 80s that has that robot and like it gets struck by lightning or something and becomes like a real boy robot. Oh, it's like such a boys movie. My husband made me watch it. And I was like, this looks like the kind of thing that like Tony Stark would have loved when he was a kid. Oh gosh. I don't think I'm gonna remember it, but hopefully someone in the audience is out here screaming at me. Like it was the guy from Police Academy and some lady, and they had a friend that was a robot. I don't know what it's called. Somebody knows.
Somebody must know.
Mm-hmm. Somebody knows something. All right, where are we on time? Do we have time to talk about more?
I don't know. Go for it, Jamie.
Nobody checked, did we? Okay. Well, I'll be quick with this one because this one is more of a fun secret that I discovered, which is that Catherine Applegate, who wrote all of the Animorphs books with her husband, is from Ann Arbor, Michigan. She lives in California and used to live in Italy, so maybe she's moved around a little bit. Fun for her, but you know, Michigan at heart. Is anyone, you guys familiar with the Animorphs books?
I'm only familiar with them because I've seen the covers in the library and they look funny to me, but I've never actually read them.
Yeah, same. I'm aware of them, have not read one.
Well, successful enough that they came out when I was a kid and yet are still on our library shelves. If anyone isn't familiar with them, they're the ones on the cover where it's like a person that is slowly changing into an animal. And as a preteen, that was my third favorite series ever. So it's very exciting to know that maybe I was identifying a little bit because of the author's identity. She also wrote some secret books for Sweet Valley Twins, which is very strange to go from that to Animorphs. But I was just excited to find that out, so I had to tell everybody.
It is always fun to discover a Michigan connection you didn't know was there. I have one too. So one of the programs I do here at the library is read a short story to adults, and then we discuss it. And I always try to pick a Michigan author or Michigan related title. So I read a lot of short stories, and I know if Kate is requesting us to buy a book, it's usually going to be a good source material for me. But I was on the Library of Michigan's website, and one of the authors that they had listed was Edna Ferber, who was born in the 1800s and was writing in the early 1900s. So she's been around, she's passed away now in the 1960s, but she wrote for decades. She wrote the novels that were the basis for Showboat and Giant and Cimarron. She wrote a lot, and she was born in Kalamazoo in, I guess, I think 1895, something like that. So she was born here and lived her first 5 years here. And then she moved all kind of over the Midwest and eventually landed in New York and wrote novels about everywhere. But we can claim her because she was born here. And so I'll be reading one of her stories for my December program of that short story program.
Oh, that's exciting.
Nice plug. I really expected that you were going to talk about the ear story that anyone who has ever listened to your stories still comes up to the desk and tells me about. Like, remember that time the story about the ear? What was that?
That was called Growth by Jenny McFarland. It is publicly available on the internet. It was published in an internet journal. And Jenny McFarland was the author of, was it the House or the Girls? It was a hot read a few years ago, and she came and did a talk. And so I had read that story before her talk, and a lot of people thought it was really weird. And it is kind of weird, but it's super interesting.
I believe the book was The House of Deep Water, and it's in no way as weird as that story, because the thing about short stories is they can get as weird as you want, and you don't have to worry because it's only 15 pages long. But it's so interesting to me that the people that come and listen to your short stories, they really remember them and they still talk about them. You know, 2 years later, they're like, oh, is this person going to have a new book yet? Because I really loved that short story we read.
Yeah, there's a wide variety. So you got to be along for the ride.
Cool. So I think that's about it from us today.
All right.
So thanks everybody for listening to us. We hope you will find some good recommendations in the Michigan books that we talked about today, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.